Okay, good morning everybody, getting our Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. Oh, sorry, that's my computer, I'm turning the volume off. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. We thank the sponsor and her family very much for the zchus of sharing this Torah together this morning. It should bring only besoros tovos, nachas, and good health to her and her whole family. Also, I think that it's appropriate to dedicate our shiur to Shalom, for Kal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure as you follow the news, besides for the events in Eretz Yisrael the past few weeks, the attacks on Jews in Los Angeles, in Toronto, in Manhattan. I just saw this morning, my husband sent it to me, that a man from Lawrence was beaten yesterday in Manhattan. There was a picture of him from the hospital with his name for Tehillim. I don't have it in front of me. I said a kapitah before, in the middle of the day, that pro-Palestinians and Palestinians are going through the streets looking for Jews. Hashem Yirachem Aleinu. So we should really be blessed with Shalom, that only the Ribbono Shel Olam, in his infinite kindness, can bless us with. And it's funny, when I sat down to eat my breakfast, I had this year prepared, and I just had a few minutes while I was eating the fruit with yogurt, so I said, oh, I'm just going to open up one of the Sfarim that's in front of me. And mamish, the page that I opened to is connecting to this idea, the Sonei Yisrael who rise up. So I figured it was a sign from Hashem. I literally opened the Sefer, and this insight is very relevant to the current events, and are beseeching Hashem for Shalom. So I'm quoting from Birkon Masoras Harav. Okay. It's a bencher with insights of Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. So on the Birkas Hamazon, not on Shabbos and the Chagim, but during the week, we have some have a custom to say chapter 137, Kof Lamed Zayin of Tehillim, Al Naharos Bavel, Sham Yashavnu, Gam Bachinu, Bezachrenu, Etzion, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat, there we wept, when we remembered Zion. This is the famous kapitel where we have Imishkachach Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini. So the captive sat by the shores of the Babylonian river, and they said, how can we sing the songs of God on foreign soil? Eich Nashu Shir Shema Agbas Nechar. And then at the end of the kapitel, we say, Zachar Hashem Livnei Edom Esyam Yerushalayim. Remember God. Okay? What the Edomites did, Edom did on the day of Yerushalayim, Ha'amrim Aru Aru, when they said, tear it down until its foundation. So the beginning of the kapitel is describing Churban Bayis Rishon and the Babylonian captives, and the end of the kapitel is describing Churban Bayis Sheni and Edom. So chronologically, this doesn't really fit in one kapitel. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, the kapitel, the psalm, the chapter begins by describing the weeping of the Jews after the destruction of the first temple at the hands of the Babylonians. And then suddenly it shifts to the Galus Edom, referring to Rome and the destruction of Churban Bayis Sheni. This is just in one kapitel of Tehillim. Similarly, in Eicha, in Lamentation, Yirmiyahu prophesied in the aftermath of the first destruction, speaks about God avenging the daughter of Edom in chapter 4, Perek Dalet of Eicha. So you have a shift once again from Churban Bayis Rishon to Churban Bayis Sheni. We see it in Eicha, we see it in this kapitel of Tehillim. This association where we skip through centuries of time and we lump our enemies on the Churban together, this association teaches us the two destructions are closely related. They are really one. Quote, ultimately, there's no difference between the Gaulis of Babel, the Gaulis of Rome, Germany, or Spain. Quote, they are all essentially one Gaulis, excuse me, one experience of exile, because, quote, the enemy is the same. All that changes is the name of the enemy. In one time, the enemy is disguised as the king of Babel. In another time, he appears as a different king, in another place with a different language. There is identity of events spread over thousands of years, but the enemy remains the same. And the way that the Tanakh really shows us this is by lumping both. We have it in Tehillim, we have it in Eicha, by putting the enemies together from different time periods into one cohesive place. What the Ribbono Shel Olam is really teaching us, what history is teaching us, what Galus is teaching us, is that the enemy is the same. The time may change, the date may change, the century or the decade may change, the name and the language of the enemy may change, but there is one enemy. Says of salvation, they are all essentially one galus, one experience of exile. There is an identity of events. It is spread over thousands of years. But in fact, even today, the enemy is still alive. And we see it. I was saying to myself, I don't know, as I took the cottage cheese out of the fridge, I was thinking that, I know I said I ate yogurt, the cottage cheese was for somebody else. I don't eat both cottage cheese and yogurt in the same meal. So I was thinking to myself, you know, is it our turn? Is it our turn in our generation? Hashem Yirachem Aleinu. The enemy has still not reconciled himself to the fundamental reality of the existence of the Jewish people. The enemy still has not reconciled himself to the reality of the existence of the Jewish people and the desire of our people to return to our land. And we are seeing this in our day, in our age, in our time, in our decade. They have not reconciled ourselves to themselves to our existence, nor to our desire to live in our homeland. And we should just have Shalom b'mheira b'yameinu. Okay, we're going back to this piece by Rav Sham Shamphal Hirsch. We are going to be finishing it today for the course of a few classes. We only meet every other week, so over the course of a month or so, no, 2 months, we have been studying the piece of Rav Sham Shamphal Hirsch onto the Shabbos morning davening, and we have been bringing, of course, extra insights as well. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing, and here we are. Could you see my screen, ladies? Yes, thank you. So last time we spoke about Shabbos as Chemdas Yamim. There are three things that are identified as Chemda. Shabbos is Chemdas Yamim. Eretz Yisrael is Aratz Chemda. Next week is Parsha Shlach. 2 weeks is Parsha Shlach. And also Torah is called Chemda. We did the very interesting and beautiful Gemara that when Moshe went up, the angels didn't want to give the Chemda of Torah that was hidden away in Shemayim to the Bnei Yisrael. That was Shir last time. So now we go back to the last paragraph of this piece of Rav Sham Shamphal Hirsch. What we say in the Shabbos davening is that it is Chemdas Yamim. We spoke about that last time. Also Karasa, you declared God that it is Chemdas Yamim. Zeichel Masa Brisha. So we don't make Shabbos Chemdas Yamim. Irrespective of what I do or I do not do on Shabbos, Shabbos is still Chemdas Yamim. Also Karasa. Okay, God is the one who has declared it the most desirable of these. So let us look at Rav Sham Shamphal Hirsch here. This is from the Hirsch Siddur. Oh, so Karasa, you proclaimed it. All the other festivals, we just celebrated Chag HaShavuos, all the other festivals are dependent upon... All the other festivals are dependent on proclamation and appointment by the nation and its constituted authority. So what does that mean? That means Chodesh Hazalachem, Rosh Chodashim, Mishun Alachem, Lechodesh Hashana. We declare time. We declare when it's Shabbos. We declare when it's Rosh Chodesh. We declare when it's Rosh Hashanah. We declare when it's Yom Kippurim. We determine the calendar which establishes all the festivals that fall throughout the entire calendar year. So let's look at that sentence again. All the other festivals, we just had Shavuos. How do we know when Six Sivan is? Well, it depends when the witnesses come up to the Beis Hamikdash and they say this is Rosh Chodesh. So when you have Aleph Sivan, so that means this 6 days later is Six Sivan. All the other festivals are dependent on proclamation. So we proclaim that today is Rosh Chodesh, and now I know when Sukkos is going to be. If today is Rosh Chodesh, so I know that 15 days later we'll have Sukkos. So all other Chagim are dependent on proclamation and appointment by the nation. We determine when Yom Tov comes, and it's constituted authority. So the Sanhedrin determines, based on the testimony of the nation, when the holiday will fall. It is only by virtue of their proclamation that they become mikro a kodesh. Those are calling of holiness, not because God said that date is the date of Sukkos, because the Beis Din Shalmata said this date is going to determine the date of Sukkos. By virtue of the proclamation of the people down here, Klal Yisra. In this manner, those days become mikro a kodesh, callings of holiness, convocations to the sanctuary. Of all these sacred seasons, Shabbos is different. Why is Shabbos unique and why is Shabbos different? We do not determine through Kiddush HaChodesh and through Beis Din when Shabbos is. The Ribono Shel Olam determines every 7 days of Shabbos, irrespective of what I do or I do not do. So if witnesses don't come up, they don't declare Shabbos is still Shabbos. Of all these sacred seasons, the Sabbath is the only holiday that has been proclaimed and established by God Himself for all time to come. There can never be a discrepancy. You don't have to put two witnesses into two separate rooms and question them about the molad and when did you see the moon and when did you see the moon and determine if their witness and their testimony is authentic or if somehow they are lying, and so you don't put them in the same room together, and only when it corroborates now you could say it's Rosh Chodesh. That doesn't happen with Shabbos. Shabbos has been proclaimed Oso Karasa. You, God, proclaim Shabbos as the Chemdas Yamim Zeichel Masa Bereshis. It's the only holiday that has been been proclaimed and established by God Himself for all time to come. So I have a question. I can keep Shabbos, or I could choose Chas v'Shalom to not keep Shabbos. But Shabbos is still here, and Shabbos is still holy, regardless of what I do or I do not do. So we're trying in this class very much, and I hope that it is changing our Shmira Shabbos, appreciation for Shabbos, observance of Shabbos, behavior on Shabbos. You can just choose to, loaf around all day and not do anything Kodesh. Shabbos itself is still Kodesh. I might not be taking advantage of that, but Shabbos remains Kodesh for all time to come. It is proclaimed and established not by us, not by the Edim, not by the Sanhedrin, by God Himself. Thus, the Sabbath is the only Mikra Kodesh. Look how unique Shabbos is. Shabbos is the only Mikra Kodesh that was determined by God Himself. And that's why we say in the davening, Uvashvi'i Ratzisa Bo, on the seventh day you desired it, Vikidashto, and sanctified it. Chemdas Yamim, the most precious of days, Oso Karasa, Zecha L'Masa Bereishis, just like Hashem created Ma'isa Bereishis, just like Hashem created this whole world without any helpers. Shabbos reminds us that Hashem created the sanctity of Shabbos without any helpers, without our help. God created the sanctity of Shabbos, and it is something that we have to tap into, and it is external to our behavior. Shabbos is Kodesh, no matter what we do, or what we do not do, unlike all the other festivals, which depends on us declaring the sanctity of the festivals. I'm now quoting from this book. I think this is one of the first shiur. I think it was only one other shiur, which didn't even go in YU Torah online. So this will, Mezer Hashem, reach more people. This is, I think, the first shiur that I'm quoting from this book. I mentioned that I'm reading it, but I haven't quoted from it. If anyone's reading it, it's amazing. Everyone, I feel like everyone's reading it now. Living legend. Many people are reading. I had a scholar in residence a few weeks ago. It was my first Shabbos away since before COVID. And I was talking to someone at the table. I said, did you bring any books to read? She says, yes, we were in a way in an upstate camp, a very small, more intimate attendance. So I said, what book did you bring? So she said, Living Legend. I said, oh, I'm reading it also. So it's Rabbi Grossman of Migdal HaEmek. Rabbi Grossman is known more popularly as the disco rabbi because he went up north. If you're not reading it, it's just amazing. You could get it in Judaica store. He went up north and he really revolutionized. It was a slum town, if you will. I mean, you could just read the book, and there was complete lack of observance. And Nebuch, many children were growing up in homes where their parents could not take care of them, etc. And he went up north and he really revolutionized the town. And he is recognized by the state of Israel for his accomplishments. In 2004, he won the Israel Prize, which is the most prestigious prize given out by the state of Israel every year on Yom HaAtzmaut for ordinary, quote, citizens who have changed life in Israel. Rabbi Grossman was awarded the Israel Prize in 2004. It's just amazing. But I'm just going to quote from one passage in the book that's very relevant for our shiur and our understanding and learning of Shabbos. The chapters are also very short, so it's easy to read. This is called the Kima Mincha, K-I-M-A, the Kima Mincha, okay? Rabbi Grossman, this is in the early years, Amigdal HaEmek, very early years. He was standing outside the restaurant. Rav Yitzchak David Grossman reviewed his options. He could walk into the restaurant and deliver a blistering Musar Shmuz, a scathing attack on the patrons within the eatery. But there was a good chance that such a schmooze would not accomplish anything. It would anger one or two of the already tipsy and drunk patrons who might react by throwing a frosty beer bottle at his head. Besides, he had learned at the feet of his Rebbe that empathy and understanding is the way to bring people closer. And he wasn't a blistering schmooze kind of rabbi in any case. So Rav Yitzchak David took a different tact. He entered the restaurant, which was busy and people were drinking, and here we are, Shabbat is coming in. And what's he going to do? He entered the restaurant, he made his way to the middle of the room, he raised his voice as if he were the chazan in a Sephardic Beit Knesset, and he called out loud, "V'anachnu nevarach ka me'ata v'ad olam haleluka." He recited the final words of Ashrei, the opening prayer of Mincha. And Rav Grossman recited those words in authentic Sephardic style and pronunciation. Without waiting for anyone to react, he immediately began the Kaddish that comes after Ashrei. Yitgadal v'yitgadash shemer, but you have to understand, you're in a restaurant. It's Friday afternoon. We're moving into Shabbos. Nobody there is what we call Dati, Orthodox, Shomei Shabbat. They're drinking, they're eating, they're laughing. It was probably in the days before smartphones, but they're not observing Shabbos. So first he walks in and he finishes V'anachnu Nevarach Kamei Atava Ad Olam Haleluka. Without waiting for any reaction, he immediately began the Kaddish that comes after Asher. Yitkadal V'yitkadash Mei Rabbah. Every single person in the restaurant screamed out, Amen. He continued the Kaddish. Nobody said a word. They barely breathed, unsure of what this unexpected visitor was doing. Vayatzmach purkane v'karov meshiche. Amen, they all screamed out. Moments later, he belted out the words, Ba'agala uvizman kari v'imru amen. And every single person in the restaurant cried out the traditional response, Yeheshmei rabbe mevarach le'olam olam me'amaya. As soon as he finished Kaddish, he davened Shemona Esrei, the main part of the Mincha prayer. The others looked on, astonished. He began Chazaras HaShatz, the repetition of the prayer. And it was time for Kedusha, the special part of the prayer where everyone joins in. Every person in the establishment rose to their feet and began to recite word for word. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Holy, holy, holy is the God of hosts. Instead of eating, joking, and gambling, that normally happened at Kima, K-I-M-A, Kima on a Friday evening, suddenly there was a minyan for Mincha, a minyan which everyone in the restaurant took part in. After finishing the last Kaddish of Mincha, Rav Grossman took a long look at the men. They were beginning to turn their attention back to their beers and backgammon. Chevra, he began, Shabbat Kodesh, Shabbat Kodesh. Nobody spoke. The silence filled the room. Excuse me. And then he said, when I walked into the restaurant, I saw many of you lifting your glasses and bottles of beer and saying, Bowie Kala, Bowie Kala. So this also shows you the Pintel Yid. He said, when I walked in, you were all drinking and drunk with your beer. But what were you starting to say as you began to drink? Bowie Kala, Bowie Kala. Well, it just teaches you that the Pintel Yid, that there's something in the Neshama of the Jew that feels that Shabbos is coming even while they're in this restaurant, not observing Shabbos. But my friends, and he gives a beautiful drachah with a beautiful mashal. I want to ask you a question. He's talking to the people in the restaurant. What do these words, Bowie Kala, mean that you were reciting as you raised your glasses and beer bottles? What does the Chadodi Likrat Kala mean? These words mean, come, my beloved, Lecha Dodi, let us go, my beloved Dodi, Likrat Kala, let's meet the bride. Bowie Kala, come bride. This is how we welcome in the Shabbat. What are we referring to? I'll explain with the help of a short story. Do you have time for a story? Everyone nodded, and his way, if you read the book, you'll see that his way to bring people close is only through love and through a kind word, never through scathing attacks. Everyone nodded. They would have rejected the Musar Shmuz, writes the author. Who's the author? Rabbi Nachman Seltzer. But a story they were listening to. They were ready to listen. Okay, listen well. And now he tells a mashal. There was once a newly engaged chatan and kala, a bride and a groom. They each lived in a different city. One day, the chatan called his kala, and said, if you have the book, it's chapter 6, and said, we haven't seen each other for a few weeks. My family misses you. Can you hop on the train and come for a visit? Everyone is waiting to give you the royal treatment. Excited at the prospect of seeing her chatan and his family, the kala brought a ticket, and she settled into her seat on the train for the ride. She looked out the window, and she imagined how much fun they were going to have during the upcoming visit. When the train pulled into the station in the hometown of her chatan, she alighted. She made her way through the station and out onto the street, confident that surely her chatan is waiting to see her after such a long time of being apart. To her dismay, there was no one there. Maybe there was a misunderstanding and I sent him the wrong time, she said to herself. She found a bus stop. She waited for the bus to arrive. She endured another long ride until finally, after the train and the wait and the bus, she reached her destination. She got off the bus at the stop near the chatan's house. She knocked on the door. Her excitement at seeing her chatan return, she forgot about the wait. She forgot about the misunderstanding. When suddenly she found herself being pelted with pebbles, she looked up and she saw her chatan peeking out from the upstairs window. And he was ready with another bombardment of stones. Shocked and upset, she picked up her feet. She ran as fast as she could from the chatan's house and the nightmare she had experienced. It goes without saying, she called off the wedding the moment she arrived home. This is the story that he told in the Kima restaurant. No one spoke a word, And Rabbi Grossman concluded the mashal, the parable. He looked around the crowded room and he said, "My friends, you might feel very bad for the poor kala in the story, but you are treating another kala in the exact same fashion as the chatan who abandoned his kala at the train station and then pelted her with stones. You sit here in the restaurant every Friday night drinking beer and playing your backgammon, but at the same time that you do that, you know it's Shabbat because you lift your mug in the air. And every time you feel good, you scream, 'Bowi Kala.' What does 'Bowi Kala' mean? So none of us are sitting in the bar drinking beer playing backgammon." Well, I'm saying Musar to myself, not to you. We say the Chadodi every single week. Are we really paying attention to the words we're saying? Are we really thinking about greeting the bride who's coming? Whereas reciting Kabbalah Shabbos, another thing you have to get off your checklist. Because, okay, Shabbos, I hit the candles, finish my Tehillim, sit on the couch. They're going to be home soon. Prepare, especially if you make early Shabbos. You don't light when the men go to shul, so there's a much smaller amount of time between when you light candles and they come home. Prepare this, prepare that. So quickly get through the Chadodi. Are we even thinking of what we're saying? When we say the Chadodi, the Krat Kala, Pnei Shabbat Nekabala, what am I saying? Am I even thinking about the fact? Think about this parable. I'm not talking to you. I'm really not. I'm talking to Michal Horowitz. Think about this parable tonight. When we sing, when we recite the Lechadodi, we're welcoming the Kala. So Rabbi Grossman said. So in other words, what I'm saying is that there's a Mr. Haskell for us, not only the parable for the people in the restaurant. And we're not being Mechal Shabbos, but Mechal Shabbat translates literally as just profane, treating it like weekday. This is Chol, we're in Chol, and Shabbos is Kodesh. So if we treat Shabbos like Chol, as a definition, literal translation of Mechalal Shabbat, not halachically, but you can't treat it like Chol. So I have to treat it like the Kala that she is. So Rabbi Grossman said, again, when I hear this story, when I say this story, and this mashal, this lesson from Rabbi Grossman, don't think of the people in the restaurant. Think of us. You sit here in the restaurant every Friday night drinking beer, and you're playing your backgammon. At the same time, you're lifting your mug in the air. You're calling a Bowi Kala. What does Bowi Kala mean? Think of the words. It means that when Shabbat comes, you promise to treat her with love and respect, like a chatan to a kala. How would the kala react if the chatan treats her by throwing pebbles? While he's saying Bowi Kala, he's stoning her. She's going to run away. It means that when you promise to take care of her, you welcome her into your homes. It certainly does not mean you ignore her when she arrives. And if so, what's the difference between you and the chatan who throws rocks at his bride? Are you in this bar not doing the exact same thing? It emanated the speech straight from the heart of Rabbi Grossman. Soon the restaurant was completely empty, and from that week on, Kima restaurant was never again open on Shabbat. When he saw how successful he had been at getting Kima restaurant to close, he began paying Friday afternoon visits to other stores and other culinary establishments. Listen to this, Monsieur Snefesh. 2004, he won the Israel Prize. I spoke on Shavuos for a certain venue, a little bit of more modern Orthodox congregation, just stating a fact. So I said that Rabbi Grossman is not just accepted by the Haredim, because if you look at his appearance, you think, you know, he's Haredi, he's only in the Haredi camp, just to point out how illustrious and successful and incredible he is. He was awarded the Israel Prize. So the state of Israel recognizes his tremendous accomplishments for society as a whole. Listen to this. For the next 2 years of his life, Rabbi Grossman did not set foot into a Beit Knesset on a Friday night. Instead, he made it his business to daven every single week at a different store, restaurant, kiosk, or barbershop. Sometimes he davened in the store, sometimes he spoke to the people, sometimes he sang Shabbat songs with them. He did his best to make a positive and friendly impression. At other times, he would go to the business owners in their homes. It took time, but eventually, the city of Migdal HaEmek closed down on Shabbat until you could not find a single business in operation. Imagine this. It's impossible to imagine the schar. This is just one nakuda of his life. For 2 years, he davened in barbershops, kiosks, bars, and restaurants. Until eventually you could not find a single business in operation once candle lighting time arrived. Today, if you happen to visit Migdal HaEmek and you need to fill up for gas, there are huge signs by both of the city's gas stations. Those signs read, "This gas station keeps Shabbat and the Chagim." There's a picture of it. And it says, "Tachana Shomer Shabbat v'Chagim Yisrael, v'Chagei Yisrael." And it all started on a Friday night when Rav Grossman stood in the middle of a crowded restaurant, raised his voice to the heavens, and began not by chastising and not by screaming and not by pelting them with stones. It began when he began to recite the words of Ashrei, and he explained to the patrons the meaning of Bowie Kala, come my bride, and how it applied to them and to their lives. It's incredibly inspiring and incredibly amazing, but what we have to think about is how it applies to us and our lives, because again, none of us are in the bar, none of us are drinking the beer, none of us are playing backgammon for money. Maybe you're playing games with your children or your grandchildren, but nevertheless, we have to consider, what do I think when I say the words Bowie Kala? It's a good question. What am I thinking when I say the words Bowie Kala? And am I having the right kavanos? And for us on our level, are we chas v'shalom pelting the bride with stones when she comes? I know there's no money in our pockets. I know the radio is not on. I know you're not checking your phone. I know. But on our level, and that's why it's so important when we hear a musra like that, that was said to the people in the restaurant through a mashal, we have to think, what is it saying to me? Not only, what is it saying to them? I'm now going to quote from the reason the Sefer was in front of me when I was eating my breakfast is because I wanted to quote an insight, Birkon Masod Harav. It is a bencher, if you will, with commentary of Soloveitchik. We began in here because we quoted about the enemy of Israel, Al Naros Baval, the enemy who is alive and well in each generation, Hashem Yirachem Aleinu. So the last thing we read from Rav Shamsher and Fall Hirsch, I'm not going to go back to the screen sharing, but the last thing we read from Rav Shamsher and Fall Hirsch is that all the other festivals are dependent upon the proclamation and appointment by the nation. So we declare when Rosh Chodesh, we declare Rosh Hashanah, we declare Yom Kippur, we declare Sukkot, we set the calendar year. There is one Mikra Eit Kodesh that is unique, which of these things does not belong, and that is the sanctity of Shabbos. Irrespective of whether I declare the day Shabbos or not, it is still going to be Shabbos. Okay? And that's why Rav Hirsch said, the Sabbath is the only Mikra Kodesh, calling of holiness, that was determined by God himself. Now I go to Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik points out commentary to the Kiddush, okay? Yehi Erev, Yehi Boker, Yom HaShishi. We begin with Perek Beis of Sefer Bereishis, Vayichu L'Shamayim V'Aretz V'Chol Tzva'am. It's Perek Beis, Pesukim Aleph through Dalet. Okay? Kivo Shabbat Mikol Malachto Sher Bara Elokim La'asos. God ceased from all his work that he had created to do. Okay? Kivanu v'charto v'osani kiddush. I'm not going through the whole kiddush. You all know the kiddush. Mikol ha'amim v'shabbos kodshcha ba'ahava uveratzon hechatanu. And how do we end the kiddush? Baruch atah Hashem mekadesh ha'shabbos. So now the insight of Rabbi Soloveitchik from Birkon Masoros Harav is going to make a lot of sense after what we learned from Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch, that Shabbos is the only mikra kodesh that is declared by God and sanctified by God, unlike the other festivals. So before I read Rav Soloveitchik's passage, think of Shabbos on the Chagim. We just celebrated one of the Shalosh Regalim. We just had Shavuos. What do we say in the Shalosh Regalim? On Kiddush, by the Shalosh Regalim, we say, Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. Listen to the order. Mekadesh Yisrael, God sanctifies Israel, v'hazmanim and time. So God sanctifies Israel, Israel sanctifies time. This is not my own har, this is based on my learnings and also teachings of Rav Soloveitchik here and in other places. Baruch atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael, God sanctifies the Bnei Israel. Vehazmanim. Vehazmanim doesn't come after Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Hazmanim. It comes after Yisrael. Hashem sanctifies us. We sanctify time. That's the first national mitzvah. Parashas Bo, I quoted already. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Rishnu Lachem Lechad Shein HaShana. You declare time. You sanctify time. You sanctify the Jewish calendar year, except for Shabbos. So on Shabbos we say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. You are blessed, God. You sanctify. You make holy Shabbos. On Yom Tov, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael. So what is God Mekadesh? God is Mekadesh Shabbos. God is Mekadesh Yisrael. We are Mekadesh Lizmanim. So, Rabbi Soloveitchik quotes a Medrash. who sanctifies the Shabbos, the final blessing of the Kiddush on Friday night is, think about this tonight, when Kiddush is either, if you live in a situation where you recite Kiddush, or if you live in a home where somebody else recites Kiddush for you, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos, think about this, who sanctifies the Sabbath. There is an enigmatic medrash, a mysterious, difficult, perplexing, hard to understand medrash, Yalkut Shimoni, which states there are three sanctified entities in this world. There are only three sanctified entities. What are the three sanctified entities in this world? Number one, the name of God. Okay, one of the Aseres Dibros is Otisa Hashem Hashem El Kechel Hashav. Okay, so a third of the Dibros, Anochi Hashem, I am the Lord God who took you out of Egypt, don't have gods of others before me. Otisa, don't take Hashem's name in vain. So there are three. It's one of the Dibros, Mamish. There are three sanctified entities in this world, says the Yalkut Shimoni. One is the name of God, Shem HaMeforesh. One is Shabbos, and one is the people of Israel. Those are the only three things that have pre-existing sanctity in this world. The name of God, Shabbos, and Am Yisrael. Yet, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, we know of many other holy entities. The land of Israel is a holy entity. We're hoping soon, please Hashem have rachmanas on us, beside the fact that we should be blench with shalom, it should be open again, so the Yoshvei Chutz Ha'aretz could return to Eretz Yisrael. Many other holy entities, the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, Yom Tov is holy, there's Kedushas Yom Tov. There are many other examples. The Medrash seemingly ignores all these other examples and points to the fact that only Shem Hashem and Torah Yisrael, and Shabbos, I'm sorry, and the people of Israel are holy. What's the answer? The solution is the Medrash lists only those sanctities created by God himself. The Kedusha endowed into something by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So God endows his name with holiness. God endows Shabbos with holiness. And since we already learned that piece by Yerfush, it should make sense to you now. And God endows Am Yisrael with holiness. How much holiness is in Am Yisrael? Even people in a bar, when they drink their beer, are saying Bowie Kala. There's some spark within them that is holy at all times. The solution is the Medrash lists only those sanctities, those Kedusha matters created by God himself. All other manifestations of holiness in this world are secondary, derived from the sanctity of Bnei Yisrael, derived from the sanctity of Israel. So God sanctifies us. We have the koach to sanctify other things in our lives and in our world. For example, says the Rav, the Jewish people consecrated the land of Israel. After Moshe Rabbeinu died, Yeshua led the people across the Jordan River. They went through the conquest of the land and the settlement of the land. The Jewish people consecrated the land of Israel. The Jewish people built and consecrated the temple. The high court, the Beis Din, Hagadol, the Sanhedrin, endows every Yom Tov with Kedusha, through its jurisdiction over the calendar. So this is a beautiful further elucidation of the short teaching of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. Rav Soloveitchik is explaining that we have the power as Am Yisrael, who were invested with holiness by God, to make other things in this world holy. For example, we make Eretz Yisrael a holy land by investing the land with Kedusha. We built the Beis HaMikdash. We established the temple there. The high court endows every Yom Tov with Kedusha through jurisdiction over the calendar. But the sanctity of Shabbos preceded the election of the nation of Israel. God himself sanctified the day of Shabbos, and this is what we're learning in today's shiur, from the time of creation. As the Pasuk says, as we say in the Kiddush, Vayivarech Elokim es Yom HaShvi Vayikadesh Oso. That's the source for Oso Kirasa Zechel Amayse Bereshis in the davening. Like Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch says, Oso Kirasa, you Hashem declared Shabbos holy. When did Hashem declare Shabbos holy? Way before Avraham Avinu. Before God, Avram discovered the Ribbono Shel Olam. By the time of Maisa Bereshis, the Pasuk says, beginning of Perek Beis in Bereshis, Vayivarech Elokim es Yom HaShvi'i Vayikadesh Oso. You don't have to say in the Beis Din Shamata when's Rosh Chodesh to know when Shabbos is holy. Shabbos has holiness from the Ribbono Shel Olam. For this reason, the Shabbos Kiddush concludes with the blessing, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. Blessed are you, the Lord, who sanctifies Shabbos. As opposed to the Yom Tov Kiddush, on the Regalim we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Note the order. God sanctifies Israel. That's one of the three degrees of sanctity in the world. Says the Medrash, they are Shem Hashem, Shabbos, and Kedushas Yisrael. Mekadesh Yisrael, Hashem makes us holy. Every Jew has an inherent Kedusha. V'Hazmanim, the Zmanim depend on us making the time holy. The Talmud, the Gemara, both in Pesachim and Beitza, explained that since the people of Israel create the Kedusha of Yom Tov, we refer to them in the Kiddush blessing. That's why we say Mikadosh Yisrael v'Hastmanim, since the Kedusha of Yom Tov depends upon us. But we do not mention the people of Israel in the Shabbos Kiddush. We don't mention, if you look through the Kiddush, first we quote the Pesukim from Perek Beis of Bereishis, Vayichu l'shamayim v'artz v'chal tzvam, he completed the heavens and the earth and all of his hosts, Vayichalu kim v'amashvim malachto asher asot, it's talking about God. God completed, he finished on the seventh day the work that he did, and he ceased, Vayishpot v'yamashvim ikon malachto asher asa, and God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because on this day he rested, he ceased from all his work that God created to do. And then we say, Asher Kiddushan b'mitzvosiv ratzabanu v'shabbos kodjo ba'av v'ratzan hichlenu. It's all about Shabbos, which is zikro on the Masa Bereishis. Shabbos is the techila l'mikra e'kodesh. Shabbos is techila mikra e'kodesh. It's the first of all the callings of holiness. Why? Because God sanctifies Shabbos as a calling of holiness, zecha v'tzias k'mitzvayim, mekadesh ha'shabbos. And therefore, the Gemara explains, because we create the Kedusha of Yom Tov, but we do not create the Kedusha of Shabbos, we don't mention the people of Israel in the Shabbos Kiddush. Because, quote, last sentence, the sanctity of Shabbos flows directly from the Creator himself. Anyone who wants to access the Kedusha of Shabbos can access it, but doesn't matter what I do and what I do not do, Shabbos maintains an inherent intrinsic Kedusha as sanctified by the Ribbono Shel Olam all the way from Ma'aseh Bereishis, way before Avraham Avinu ever walked the face of the earth. Way before Har Sinai in Zachor Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, Shabbos was already holy. So I was listening to a shiur a few weeks ago by Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita, Moshav Matityahu. You know, perhaps from learning with me, how much I enjoy this shiur of Rabbi Zev Lev and the Torah insights that he shares. So Rabbi Zev Lev says, what is Kedusha? Related to the topic of today's shiur, what is Kedusha? I need tissue, sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. What is Kedusha? Rabbi Zev Lev said, nothing in this world has intrinsic Kedusha in and of itself, except for, I'm going to add, the three things that the Medrash says, the name of God, Shabbos, and the people of Israel. Nothing else has inherent Kedusha. Everything is holy only when God is present in its holiness. So if we bring God into something, it attains, and hopefully maintains Kedusha. For example, I'll give you a nice example, a marriage. What is the chasan, talking about chatan and kala, what does the chasan say to the kala under the chuppah when he puts the ring on her in front of the edim? He acquires her through something he owns, he is a kinyan of the ring, he puts it on her finger, and he says, harei at, what's the word he uses? Mikudashat li. You are now sanctified to me. Why? Because the shechina is going to be in this marriage. When it is a marriage built on halacha and tahara and Torah, there is Kedusha. And if it's two people who get together, not under halacha, not under kedusha, not under tahara, they could be doing the exact same action, but one is abhorred and disgusting, and one is kodesh and sanctified. What's the difference? Is the shechina present? You all know the famous Ma'amar Chazal, Ish v'Isha. They have the same letters, but the foundation is Ish, Aleph, Shin. Why? But you add a yud and a hey. Ish is Aleph, Yud, Shin, Hey. Isha is Aleph, Shin, Hey. So the two extra letters are Yod and Hey. If the Shechin is between them, Yod Hey, then you have a beautiful marriage of Kedushin. If the Shechin is not between them, then it's Eish, a fire will consume them. So you could have two people who are doing the exact same action. One is Kodesh and beautiful, and one is not. What's the difference? Is the Shechinah there? Anywhere that we bring the Shechina, but it's our responsibility to bring the Shechina there through our actions. Anywhere where we bring Hashem into our lives, in this temporal world, that's Kedusha. That's how we draw Kedusha down to this world, says Rabbi Zev Lev. He says, Har HaMoria is holy because the Shechina never leaves. Where the Shechina is, that's where Kedusha is. Har Sinai is not holy because God departed. I listened to a few weeks ago, but he gave these examples. It was a pre-Shavuot shir of his from a few years ago. So where Hashem is, there is Kedusha. So Hashem is in Shabbos, so to speak, where Shabbos is in Hashem. And therefore, there is Kedusha. And if there's no God in that place, then there is no Kedusha in that place. And he told over a very good story. I told it over in one other shir. I told over my Shabbos table. It's an excellent story. There was a man when he was a rabbi in Miami decades ago. When he was a rabbi in Miami, So there was a woman who called him frantic, and she said, "Rabbi, you have to help me. What's the problem?" She says, "My husband's going to kill himself." He went to the doctor, and the doctor told him, "You have a certain medical condition. You eat this diet and you take these medications to control your condition. Now Yom Kippur is coming." The doctor said, "I'm telling you, you have to eat 3 meals on Yom Kippur." The man said, "I haven't eaten since before my bar mitzvah on Yom Kippur. I'm not eating now." He went home and he told his wife. The wife was freaking out. So she called Rabbi Leff and she said, "Rabbi Leff, you have to help me. My husband says he's going to not eat on Yom Kippur. He's going to fast." The doctor said, "If he fasts, he's going to take his life in great danger." So Rabbi Leff first called the doctor and he spoke to the doctor. And the doctor was not a religious doctor. So the doctor said, "This man has to eat 3 meals. Rabbi Zavov said, "You know, maybe this doctor tells everyone they have to eat 3 meals a day. And he doesn't understand what Yom Kippur really means to Orthodox observant Jews." So he consulted with another doctor, a frum doctor, who same field of medicine. He told this other doctor the man's case. And he said to the frum doctor, "If this was the man's health condition, these are the medications he takes every day, this is what he eats every day, what would you tell him for Yom Kippur?" And the frum doctor said, "I would tell him he has to eat 3 meals on Yom Kippur." So Rabbi Leff called the man and he said, "Listen, I have to tell you something. You have to eat on Yom Kippur." So the man said, "Rabbi," my mamash tells the story over. I listened to the shir 2 times. He says, "Rabbi, I haven't eaten on Yom Kippur since before my bar mitzvah. I'm not eating now. You can't make me." So Rabbi Leff said to him, "If you fast on Yom Kippur, you will never get Rabbi Leff said, "I spoke to your wife, I spoke to your own doctor, I consulted with another from doctor. Everyone agrees, you have to eat 3 meals. Rabbi, I'm not eating 3 meals on Yom Kippur, I'm not eating on Yom Kippur." So Rabbi Leff said, "If you fast on Yom Kippur, you will never get another kibbutz in Arshul again. Not an aliyah, not psicha, not glila, not being called up, nothing. You will never get another aliyah." So the man said, "What?" So Rabbi Zavlov said, "Listen, we're a very tolerant shul. I don't know where he was, Rabbi Miami, maybe some of you are aware." He said, "We're a very tolerant shul. We give a lot of people aliyahs. We give aliyahs to people who aren't observant. I'm not saying anything halachic, I'm repeating a story. We give aliyahs to people who drive to shul on Shabbos. We're very tolerant and we're welcoming of all Jews here. But we have never given an aliyah to somebody who's oved avodah zarah. And I'm not going to start now." So the man said, "Oved avodah zarah, kavod harav, I want to fast on Yom Kippur. Excuse me, v'inisa masnafsho sheichem, I'm fine." So Rabbi Zavlov said, "No, you're being Ovdei Avodah Zarah." He says, "You are not worshiping and listening to the God that I worship, and you're not listening to the Torah that I listen to. God is where Kedusha is. Sometimes Hashem wants you to fast on Yom Kippur. That's Kedusha. Shabbat Shabbaton. It's the holiest of all days. Sometimes Hashem wants you to eat on Yom Kippur. What Hashem wants you to, according to Torah Halacha, is Kedusha. And if you negate that Kedusha of Hashem, and if you negate the word of God, you're an Ovdei Avodah Zarah." And Rabbi Leff said, and I love this line, "I don't care if your God is called Zeus or if your God is called the Yom Kippur God, but you're not worshiping the God of Israel if you insist on fasting on Yom Kippur. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam this time wants you to be mekadesh yourself and this man through eating." So at the end of the story, Rabbi Leff said it was humorous and the audience laughed. Rabbi Leff said the end of the story is that the man ate his 3 meals on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Leff said, quote, "I guess his aliyahs were very important to him." Rabbi Zavlov said, "Where is Kedusha? Where we bring Hashem into our lives. How do we know where to bring Hashem into our lives? Depending on what the Torah wants of us. But there's only Kedusha where the Ribbono Shel Olam is. So in Shabbos, there's inherent Kedusha because the Ribbono Shel Olam is always there. We don't even have to do anything to bring down the Kedusha. Unlike the other Yomim Tovim, we have to work to access the Kedusha. On Shabbos, it's just there for the taking. A husband and a wife, a chasan and kala, need to stand under the chuppah. According to Allah, she has to go to the mikvah, they have to have the ksuba, they have to have the edim, he has to have a kinyan by which to acquire, he has kloner. I don't know the merit of Allah is related to kedushin, but only when you go through all the steps is there kedushin. And if you don't go through those steps, so the man and the woman could be doing the exact same thing, and that's disgusting, that's muse, that's not welcomed by God, that's abhorred by God. What's the difference? If you went through the process of bringing the Ribbono Shel Olam into your life. So in everything else, we have to be mekadesh. How could you be mekadesh the fruit with yogurt? By making the appropriate bracha. But with Shabbos, you don't have to do anything. The Kedusha is there. Baruch atah Hashem mekadesh HaShabbos. We do not mention the people of Israel in the Shabbos Kiddush because the sanctity of Shabbos flows directly from the Creator Himself. It was mekadesh already from Sheishas Yimei Bereishis, from the time of creation. All we have to do is welcome her the Shechina, the Kedusha, the Kala interim. If you want to access the Kedusha of Shabbos, it's right there waiting for all of us. We don't need to make her holy because she is already holy. We just have to be Zocha, the people in the bar had their Nisayan. We in the comforts of our home have our own Nisayan. Whatever level we are on, we have to think when we say Bowi Kala, Bowi Kala. What are we saying? Who are we welcoming? And remember that the Kedusha is there for the taking. All we have to do is want it, reach out for it, like the Medrash says, the enigmatic Medrash, which should be not enigmatic anymore, and that we explained it, Yalkut Shimoni, three sanctified entities in the world. Name of God, Shabbos, and Am Yisrael. All we have to do to access the Kedusha of Shabbos, as the holy Am Yisrael, is tap into the Kedusha that is inherent in Shabbos, and there we will find the Ribbono Shel Olam, because Rabbi Zev Lev says, what is Kedusha? Where God resides. Be'ezrat Hashem, we just be zocha to true shalom for our people and our land. Once again, we thank our sponsor and her family very, very much. And I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. And I thank you for joining our shir. Kol tov, everybody. Have a good Shabbos. All the best. Bye-bye.